This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, are meeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Everybody warm enough. It's actually not that cold a night tonight, which is good. Oh, my lens too hot. Can't please everyone. yeah, cool. So we're about a week away from our rains retreat period. So that's our 3 months where the monks are supposed to get stuck into their practice. Ajahn Brahm always talks about it as being a balance between service and solitude. So we spend a lot of our time like doing service for the community, coming out and teaching meditation, and doing all sorts of things, looking after the monastery. And then 3 months where we have to deepen our practice. So Bob was asking me today whether I was going to be busy next door. So for those who don't know, we've got our 10 hectares next door that we're slowly going to develop into a place for monks to live and practice and all that, but hopefully we don't have to spend too much time over the next 3 months worrying about that. I think we'll probably be doing more paperwork than anything, more paperwork than laying bricks or knocking out walls or anything. So you never know what's going to happen. You know, you can't you can't just waste a reins to even if it seems like a really, really important project. So we'll take our time and spend a lot of time meditating, and hopefully it'll be really nice reins, and become better meditators and better practitioners and better teachers. So that's kind of what we do. But you've got us today, and Next week, we're going to mix it up a bit. We're going to have myself and Santuti together, and we'll have sort of come over, of course, as well. So it'll be more of a sort of get together before the rains, a bit of Q&A and have a bit of fun, and yeah, it's a bit different.
A party, maybe?
Party, well, I don't know how close it. I mean, we seem to have a party every Monday, so everyone comes and eats Tim Tams and drinks tea and hangs out and has a chat, which is really nice. We've got a good regular crowd here and a number of people turning up from time to time to join us, which is great. So sooner or later we'll have to build a bit of a hall here, but we're doing all right so far. As is usual, I'll be talking a little bit about meditation as usual, because it's a meditation group, and I always wonder how much I should prepare for these talks. So there are two schools of thought. That one is that you should have some idea what you're going to say, and then there's the practice dating back generations of monks of just giving off the cuff talks, and sometimes they're fascinating and sometimes they're not. But at least I've been thinking about the basic practice of meditation and the approach to it. However you're meditating, what sort of meditation you're practicing, what sort of meditation object you've chosen, you should always practice wholeheartedly. So if you're just practicing developing the attention to the present moment, then you have to be wholehearted in that. So we always seem to have these things that we think, well, you know, this is a really important thing to think about, so I better just go over it once more. You know, how am I going to, you know, what am I going to say at the job interview tomorrow? There's always something. But when you practice the attention to the present moment wholeheartedly, you let go of all of that, every last shred of the past and future. And the second part to it is to practice kindness in the meditation, because inevitably the mind's going to wander, because that's what it does. That's exactly what it does all the time. And whenever your mind wanders away from the present moment, or away from the breath, or gets caught up in some fantasy, or anything like that, you have to come back to what you're doing with kindness, and understanding that it's a normal state of the mind to be thinking and planning and remembering and all that sort of stuff. So always have kindness to yourself, and also to the third thing is to have patience, and that's the patience to do this over and over and over again, and just gradually developing the path of meditation. So if you have these three things, you practice wholeheartedly, you have kindness and patience, then you'll have a very, very, very good time meditating. So, that's what I've been thinking about lately. As usual, on a Monday night, I tend to keep things fairly fluid, fairly relaxed. I don't try and make it too regimented in the practice. So when we sit down and get comfortable and get ready to meditate, we just relax. We don't try to force it. And I think Ajahn Brahm always talks about the letting go side of practice, and essentially what you're letting go of is control. So that's the nature of things. It's always a good thing to remember that Yeah, the way to still the mind is just to relax, to let it be still, to just let it wind down gradually and become peaceful. So, does anyone have any questions? No. Okay. Does anyone have any suggestions? No. Okay. Well, maybe we can sit for a little while, for 30 minutes as usual, and after meditation, you can always ask questions or just have a chat. It's all good. Yeah. So, shall we dim the lights? We've got Bill back on light duty. Light duties. Is that right? You've got light duties. Yes, you're on light duty. So you don't hurt yourself. Okay. So. And as we sit here, just remember those three things. So, as you sit here, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. Whatever you want to do, so. We're sitting here in the present moment. And that's all there is. Just this moment. Nothing else in the whole wide world. So take some time to sort of take it all in. What's actually happening here and now? Present moment, pay some attention to the body, now's the time to scratch your nose, to loosen any pieces of clothing that are too tight, to tighten any pieces of clothing that are too loose, and with kindness, let the body be still. Nice and comfortable. And relaxed. wanders off, as it inevitably does. Just be kind to that mind. Don't try to control it. And just come back to the pleasant, present moment. and from time to time, kindly just remind the mind to come back to the present moment. and in the present moment, notice the space between the thoughts, those periods of silence in the mind, that big empty space. Just allowing the loving kindness as it develops inevitably. Just let it rest in the present moment. So, over the last 30 minutes have been for you, just say to yourself, this is good enough, this is good enough. There you go. Some of you will be interested in a bit of recent news. So, I was talking about patience earlier. We're planning to build 6 new huts down at the Serpentine Monastery. And it's taken 6 years so far. We've finally got approval.
Very good.
Yeah, so it took the intervention of the Queen this time. So Ajahn Brahm recently was awarded a member of the Order of Australia, and he's just been travelling at this time around the US and Canada, and very, very busy, lots and lots of flights here and there, and the first thing he does after he gets off the plane is to go to a meeting with the Shire CEO down in Serpentine. Now I think before I went there, the people that organised the meeting mentioned that he'd recently been awarded this Order of Australia. So that was all it took, really. He went to one meeting, and after 6 years of battling to get this project approved, it has been approved. So that's good news. Yeah. So, well done, Ajahn Brahm. So he's our Ajahn Brahm's my teacher. So I started. I came to Bodhnyana back in 2006 and practiced there for most of the time since, with a few trips here and there. And he's still a fantastic teacher and very nice. I think yesterday, the day before, he had a chat with Ajahn Santuti. And what I really like about Ajahn Brahm is his ability to just inject a bit of positivity into whatever he does. So, you know, after a bit of a pep talk, you know, you feel a lot better. You feel like you've got someone who's seriously got their act together, backing you up when you start out on an enterprise like this. We've got our little monastery here, and we're extending it. So it's quite a long process ourselves, but we've finally got our bushfire assessment done as well, so we can get our stables built, put in the development approval soon. So yeah, it's nice. I think now that we've got those 6 cooties on the what they call the Hermit Hill. Which is just above the across the road from Bodhnyana proper. 6 rooms there. We've got I think the monks over in Newbury in Victoria, working with the Buddhist Society of Victoria, have their project over there. They're building 5 huts and a sort of central room for the sangha there for the monks, with a meditation room and kitchen and stuff like that. And I think they managed to get their approval in on the very, very last day of when they'd have to start again. So people were running around with documents here and there that didn't entrust them to couriers because, so that project's going ahead. Venerable Mudu, has anyone met Venerable Mudu? He's the... He's made his way down to what will be Bodhnyana Great Southern, which is about as far south as you can get, really, without going to maybe Antarctica or something, but almost on the cliff, right on the cliffs of the Southern Ocean near Albany. So he's got a big project ahead of him. I think he's inherited a rather, how should we say, classic architecture there, so it's kind of falling apart, I think, but it's going to be a lot of work to get that one going, but in a bit of time, once we've got our stables project up and running, that's how many new places is that now? 1, 2, 3, 4 Four more? And plus Bodhinyana proper. So people, monks, will now be able to travel all over Australia, you know, and just go monastery hopping if they if they get bored. Or I know the cooties up, the monks' huts that they've just had, just got through Serpentine Gerardale Council, are intended for more senior monks to have their own sort of practice out there in the forest, not many duties, very nice secluded lifestyle there, so something for everyone these days. Things are expanding. Yeah, all good.
Have you done any monasteries up north?
Up north? No, not yet. No. Where should we start? Where would you recommend?
Closer to the range, too.
Yeah, up to the. That's right. We'll have the monsoon. Yeah, if you go up to Broome or Marble Bar. No. There's a lot up north. Yeah. Fun little island out there somewhere.
Wittenoon's a whole suburb.
What's that?
Wittenoon, there's a whole suburb.
Wittenoon?
Yeah.
Really? What happened there? Oh, that's the asbestos place, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, you've certainly got solitude there.
You
just need a little dust mask. Well, not a little dust mask. Proper equipment, it could be perfect. No one's going to disturb you.
Yeah.
Is that the place? Oh, jeez. Okay.
It's always Tom Price.
Yeah. Tom Price, what's that?
Iron ore.
Oh, okay. It's a big mine,
and
is it?
Coal.
Another big mine. Mm.
Well, it used to be Mount Tom Price. There's no mountain.
There's no mountain there anymore. It's all gone. Have they got caves? Tunnels?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, we can go down. We can just have our own little tunnel. That'd be good.
In the iron ore.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, too cold. Oh, well, never mind. But if you go down deeper, it doesn't get warmer and warmer as you get closer.
I think
it's
32 degrees.
Yeah, that's good.
I have gold.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, it's great. It's great to be sort of part of all this growing. I know. If this is your first time here, I'm not Arjun Brahm, so I'm just getting practice as a teacher now. So, but it's been good. The last how long has it been now since I got here? So end of October. Where are we now? Sometime in July. It's almost 9 months, isn't it? Mm, 8.5 months. So since I've been here, basically myself and Arjun Santuti have been. Teaching this meditation group, so that's actually a pretty good milestone, actually, to every second Monday to come here and talk a bit about meditation and make stuff up, and it's good, so it's very good practice. And then next week I'll be doing, or tomorrow, Santuti will do the Armidale group. For those who are unaware, there's the group down at the hospital down on Albany Highway. So that's been a big thing for a long time, and next week I'll take it for the last day before the rains, so the 16th, so it's all good. Things moving along. It's really, really nice to be part of it all. Hey Bill.
Another bit of news is the nuns are building 4 kutis and the...
Oh, the nuns have got permission now.
Yeah, they've got permission, and they've already done the footings for them.
Oh, wow, cool. Because we're the nuns... For those who don't know, the nuns are out at Kijigeta, so they're our sister monastery, or a sister monastery to Bodhinyana Monastery. So are they... Because for a while they weren't taking any new nuns, were they? They'd no one to put them.
Well, they're the same. Well, problem is Bodhinyana.
Same problem as Bodhinyana, that's right.
They have accommodation, but
then. No, so to have another 4 huts for nuns, that's great news.
And,
yeah.
And their process took a lot less time than
Bodhinyana, that's right. What they go, Bell 29 or?
Yeah, they go Bell 29.
Yeah, So for those of you who don't know, there's this, I think, since what, 2015? 2015, they started introducing these BAL assessments. Okay, so a BAL assessment, for those who are, you know, not ensconced in in the law, it's a bushfire attack level rating. So whenever you build a building out in the forest, it has a BAL rating associated with it, and given and given the nature of the huts that they were building at Bodhinyama, they built them within pretty much within the middle of the forest there. So they're at the very top of the bushfire attack level rating. So that made it very, very difficult to get those six kuti through. So I think if you're willing to clear a bit of forest, it can be easier. So I guess they must have found some spaces that were just a little bit easier to
keep clear. Yeah, plus their kutis are a lot closer together as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think there must have been some sort of compromise there somehow.
Yeah, we had to have a special agreement with our next door neighbours, which is Bongong National Park, to cut the grass on their side of the fence. So, so all of these things make it a little bit more difficult to get monasteries built, but now it seems they're all happening at once. So we're going to get Dhammasara branch monastery now. So Dhammasara is the nuns' monastery. So I guess now Bodhinyama has three or four branch monasteries. Well, three branch monasteries and another hermitage. I think it's time for the nuns. Maybe they can go up north.
And don't forget the Anukampa project
yes. Ajahn Brahm is sponsoring projects all over the world, and they're starting a nuns monastery in England, is that right?
Yeah, so raised
a lot of funds for that.
Do they not have a nuns one in England?
Not fully ordained ones.
No, not for Kuni monastery, not for full ordination. So when Ajahn Brahm got the award, who was awarded the Member of the Order of Australia, it was very much for his role in establishing the bhikkhunis here in Australia, the fully ordained nuns, so which he took copped a lot of flack for doing, but obviously the Queen's happy, so that's the main thing. Keep the Queen happy, we're all right. it's good. It's very encouraging. So
is there any ordained nuns in the world?
We've got our fair share of them. So it probably depends on the tradition you're talking about. So we're talking about specifically the Theravadin school of Buddhism, which is sort of from the Southeast Asian region. That's right. What basically happened was that the lineage of nuns died out, and I think this is back in, what would you say, 13th century or something? Or
not,
1300s or something like that? Yeah, in Sri Lanka. I can't remember the exact circumstances. There may have been like famine, that sort of thing, but eventually there were no more nuns. So, so basically the lineage died out and was re-established, I think again in Sri Lanka, wasn't it? The first bhikkhunis of this era. But in the Northern School in China and Taiwan, in that sort of Northern School, the nuns' lineage had continued, and that was actually how they got some of the nuns ordained in the Theravadin tradition, by following that lineage. And I'm not sure what happens in the Tibetan side of things, in the Vajrayana school. Do they have?
Yeah, they've got nuns there as well.
They've got nuns there as well. Actually, yeah, no, I remember now, because they had four.
That just started as well, I think.
Four of them ordained at Newbury when I was there. Mm. So I got to meet some of those nuns as well. Actually, yeah. So. Yeah, anyway, that was how Ajahn Brahm ended up getting his medal, so his awards. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Hmm. So. And a lot of our senior monks have been travelling around, and they're all coming back to settle now, I think, in Bodhinyama. So Ajahn Brahmali, what was Ajahn Brahmali up to last? He was in Sri Lanka again? No. Yeah, he was. He was teaching in Sri Lanka.
He also went to Norway, didn't
he? Oh, did he? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Or this year, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of the monks actually from Bodniana come from Europe, specifically Northern Europe, and we've got two Norwegians,
yes.
Two Norwegians, a Swiss, and a couple of Germans, one German, yeah.
A couple of Germans and
yeah.
Dutchman,
yeah. It's quite a strange mix there, isn't it? Oh, it just worked out that way. Alright. Anyone else have any questions or thoughts? Yeah.
I was just wondering, completely off topic to what we were just talking about. But,
that's good. Yeah. Something different. Yeah.
Yeah, you often mention different forms of meditation, so like body sweeping, breath. I've heard both yourself and Tutti say metta meditation.
Yeah.
I assume that's a chant or a quote or something. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Sure. So, meditation isn't described in a lot of detail in the suttas. There are plenty of resources for different styles of meditation. A lot of them work with mantras, yeah. So, and often taking a person as an object. So, may this person be happy, may they do well. I know there's a couple of teachers out there. If you look in the library, I think there's one from a teacher called Mahachakcha.
Okay.
And he also trained Ajahn Sujato in meditation. So he's a very nice monk. He's over in Sydney now at the his little apartment monastery there in the centre of town. And also there's Love and Kindness meditation book by, what's her name again? What I'd suggest is actually to have a look on the BSWA website. Just go to the tour, look for guided meditation on metta, and just listen to them. It's much easier than, because the Buddha didn't go into, or at least he's not recorded as going into great depth on how to practice metta in a sort of formal sitting. Where, I mean, it's certainly something that you can practice all day long as you go through life and meet people and interact and that sort of thing. You learn to, it's just a natural sort of both emotion and intention as well. Yeah. So the intention, I think, is the main part of it. It's something that can even be combined with breath as well, just having that kindness to the breath. You know, to kindness and even body sweeping, kindness to the body as you go through it. And, you know, you might concentrate on various parts of the body. Maybe you've got sore knees or something. You can, you just have that kind of intention, and it's very, very effective as well. There's only a few. Hello, Bob. Yeah, come on. Yeah.
I would recommend Pauline.
Pauline?
I can't think of a last name for the life of me.
Okay. Well, if you can remember, you can come back. We've got one more session next week, so if you can remember.
We've had her at Club Med a couple of times.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Is she?
She's up near.
Is this a nun or a
lay
person?
She looks after the nun. She lives out that way.
Oh, she's up near Gigi.
I can't think of the last
name.
She used to come to the Armadale group
years
ago.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She has several metta meditations up online.
Yeah.
If you can't find them, just let me know and I'll bring them in.
Right, thanks.
Yeah, great. That's a good way to do it, actually. I think, because there's so much stuff out there on the web as well, in like MP3 and even on YouTube, that sort of thing, it's always good just to have it. Especially if you come here before the meditation, just have a chat and just ask if anyone has any recommendations, I guess. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I'm still trying to think of the woman who wrote the most famous book. Well, it's not so famous now. It was famous at the time. She was one of the Spirit Rock group, I think. Who am I thinking of? I keep thinking Stephanie. It's not Stephanie. Oh, well, never mind. I'd let it go. Is that one? Time to go? Okay. Well, thank you for being very very accommodating this evening with my ramblings. So we shall finish off. Hadn't forgotten, Bill. We shall finish off the sharings of merit.
Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life, may they soon attain the threefold bliss, and realize the endless, through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nirvana, in every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, and surpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble Lord, the Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be